We're on. The boys are on.
The boys are on. The notes are on the screen, Marnie. And
we're back, guys.
Yeah, I'm sitting down on the podcast ready to record.
Same. Good start. Really, really good start here. I can't believe it's the end of round five and we're already lacking.
Who started better, us or North Melbourne against Geelong? Don't stare at me like that.
The lesser of two evils, wow. Really. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Further North. We clearly are a bit stumped on how to start this week's episode.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? I actually don't think it's all bad. It's really not all bad. And I'm not just saying that from positive Delulu land like you're so used to me doing.
Yes.
You and I spoke quite at length yesterday, Josh, after the game.
It was a passionate discussion.
And we both seem to relatively be on the same page, which is nice. And not all hope is lost, which is also lovely because who wants all hope to be lost when we're only five rounds into the year?
If you guys want to be convinced North Melbourne is going to be great, this is the podcast you need to listen to all the way until the end, of course. We're here to bring the energy, kind of.
The NRG.
Yes. And look, there's obvious negatives we'll talk about, but, you know, we're not going to go over the same old negatives, which are being a victim of a young team. We've got some positives, some things that I haven't heard people talking about that we'll talk about, and all the regular favourites. Sean Attlee Club Champ votes are back. Voice notes, that's fun.
People. We do love a voice note. We love hearing from you guys. Thanks again to everyone who did send their voice memos across.
Mm.
And also just thank you again for everyone for their feedback on last week's episode. It was a very emotional game, I think, for a lot of us. I think we clearly didn't really know how we felt. And so when we took to the microphones after that Gather Round performance, we kind of just trauma dumped the last month on everyone. But we've regrouped. We're feeling a lot better today. We went down to JMHBA Stadium on Sunday and we faced Geelong. Never an easy task in footy.
No, the worst road trip in football, if you ask me.
Yeah, pretty dreaded. We walked away 75-point losers. However, we feel okay. We feel okay.
Yeah, we kind of do feel okay. And I don't. And it's very weird and hard to compartmentalize because it's probably the most negative the fan base has felt. And I think that's more of a symptom of the week before than this week as a whole.
Symptom of the week before or a symptom of the last, 4 years as a North supporter? Just compounding every week.
I think so. And I think the thing I'm going to get everyone to please keep in mind this entire episode is we do understand we lost by 75 points.
And neither of us are happy about it.
No.
We also just want to say.
But there are things to pick out in this game that I thought were really good from what I think we can build on. And it's not taking away from the result because it baffles me that the performance – I made a comment at halftime on Instagram saying I feel like it's the best we've played all season but we're on for a 100-point loss.
Yeah.
And which was kind of all true, and I'm going to try and like explain all of that because people got very angry that I suggested it was maybe our best performance. Not performances like, you know – the Giants one was, a gutsy performance.
Yeah.
And Frio's, half of the performance was very good.
Yeah.
What I'm more talking about is tactically and the way we set up, I think we can build off that performance more than any of the others.
Yeah. No, I do agree with you. The final score was Geelong 21-13, 139 to North Melbourne 10-4, 64.
Correct. So, yes, we do understand it's a 75-point loss. So please.
No one's happy about that.
Yeah.
No one is happy about that.
We're just going to try and explain why we think it's not as bad as you guys might think because we're here to bring the positivity.
I think the obvious thing, and I think it's been a lot of discussion, not just in the North, sort of inner North sanctum the last 5 weeks, but kind of the broad discussion now is it's been a really tough draw to open the season.
Yeah.
We've arguably had the hardest draw. And when you're coming off finishing 17th on the ladder, it's never going to be an easy draw, obviously.
No, but not as fun.
We played Carlton, GWS and Brisbane, who were three of the four preliminary finalists from last season. We played Geelong and Geelong, which is probably one of the hardest fixtures, if not the hardest fixture.
When look at the form they're in as well.
Well, I mean, in any form, but, you know, obviously they've had a red hot start to the year. And then Fremantle, who probably coming into the year, we might have thought we were maybe on par and probably a game that we could win. We obviously beat them over in Perth last season, but they've come out and had an incredible start to the season. They arguably should be undefeated as well. They should have beat Carlton. They probably could have beaten Port Adelaide over the weekend as well. So I don't think that as a fan base we can – now, it's hard. I don't want to sit here and play victim because I'm aware that, you know, there are teams who have been in our position who have faced really hard draws to start the year, the following season as well. But and you can only really play who you're fixtured against week in, week out, and it's sort of – it's the luck of the draw, pardon the pun. But I don't think we are going to be able to have a real understanding of where we're at as a football club and how – and if we have progressed at all from last season. Yeah. This week against Hawthorn is probably the start of a 4 or 5 week block where we're going to have a really good understanding, I think, of where we're at.
Yeah, I think most games up until the bye, look, we're not going to say all of them are winnable, but it's ones. Well, yeah, but like, okay.
All right, Marnie. You asked the wrong person. Okay. You asked the wrong person.
I mean, technically, no, none of them are winnable for us where we're at. But, you know, there's games coming up which we can win, and we're not playing against probably five of the what's going to be the top eight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And where we're at as a club, we have to get more realistic of that and then understand the situations we're in, like you said. So, you know, we've come out and we've played some incredibly tough teams on form this year. Even Fremantle looks very, very good.
Yeah.
We're at the bottom of the ladder and we need to understand which games we can and can't perform in. We were never going to do anything against Geelong. And I know, you know, you never know. You kind of do. And
no, you really never know. Football is a strange game.
Not with where we're at, though. It can be for other teams. This is another thing which I know you won't agree with me on this. People say it can turn quickly. Yep, not for us. Not for teams as in the pit as our club has been. And I would love it to turn quickly, but I just don't think – I'm kind of over people telling me that because it's been – a long time, Marnie. My eyes twitching because I'm getting upset.
It can turn quickly if you live in my brain.
But it doesn't mean it will. So we can't keep holding on to that.
No,
so
I know,
what
I know,
what
I know.
I'm saying is like we've got, I think, was it Hawthorn, which I think is incredibly winnable.
Hawthorn, we've got Adelaide in Tasmania. We've got Adelaide. St Kilda under the roof at Marvel, which I know St Kilda have had a pretty good start to the year, but I feel like they're a bit overrated, but that's just my own personal opinion.
Wow.
I know, don't tell anyone I said that.
I agree.
We've got the Suns in Darwin. The Suns, we never really play well against them, no matter where they are on the ladder, and they've had a pretty good start to the year, so I'm not sure how that will go. And I'm pretty sure Essendon rounds out that final five, which, again, you don't know what Essendon side's going to rock up on the day.
It also sucks that we don't – like, the Tigers are riddled with injuries right now, and obviously West Coast winning this weekend has hurt a lot.
Yeah.
And look good on them, and I would be taking that victory and bragging about it.
Oh,
100%. I'm very scared to come into work and hear Big Ant talk to me about West Coast. I think he said they're going to finish 10th to 12th straight after the game, which instantly devalidated anything he told me in that chat.
But we love you, Big Ant.
We love you, Big Ant. But, you know, I'm really jealous. We don't get to play Richmond right now from where they're at. No Taranto, no Lynch, all these
sort
of
guys. No, we'd rather just beat them at full strength.
No, well, we probably can't beat them at full strength. This run of games coming up is – almost the Hawthorn game is definitely our grand final.
And you've said this from the start of the season.
And
this game, we've penciled this in as like a bit of a do or die clash 100%. For us.
And I think it's confidence based. Like I think, you know, I'm not confirming any of this, but my gut tells me that if we don't win this game, we're looking at 2 and 3 wins again.
And
maybe we don't do that. I don't know. Maybe we hit this patch of form and we beat, you know, St Kilda and then we beat Essendon and we beat the Gold Coast. You're like, oh, what? But realistically, this club, I don't think they know or believe they can win. Why would they? If anyone can give me an actual reason why they'd believe that, I'd love to hear it. We've lost, what, 24 of the last 25 or something like that?
Yeah,
so
a lot of games.
These are the games that are the biggest that we will play for the next few years. These are the ones that will give us confidence to go against Adelaide, who have only had a great win on the weekend.
Yeah.
But that will give us the belief. That's how big this game is. And this run, you're right, is going to be the telltale on where we are at as a club because, you know, other fans might think that this is, you know, oh, you're making excuses. It's not. We played really hard opposition for a really bad team and now we're going up against teams that are closer to our level.
Yeah.
So that's where the proof is going to be. It might absolutely rip my heart out, Marty. If we lose to the Hawks, I'm going to be – I don't know. Maybe we just don't podcast because I'm going to be so upset. We will podcast, don't worry.
But
it might just be me crying in the corner over there, Marty.
And me just being like, it's all good, guys. We're going to win next week.
You guys want to talk about the 2014 elimination final?
No one wants to talk about that anymore. I think we'll be – I actually think we'll be good. Everyone knows.
Yeah, I know you do, man.
Everyone knows
that's
what I think. No, look, I think that things are starting to come together, and I know you'll talk about this in your next point because you, you had a few strong points at halftime that a lot of people disagreed with, which we'll go into. I think the more we play as a group, and I've said this before, I think the more we gel as a 23, and naturally there's going to be ins and outs. I said this on last week's episode, but I actually think our confidence, weirdly enough, despite the results, should actually be growing, because I think we're starting to show signs that things are sort of starting to piece together. And then we saw Charlie Conman's performance against Brisbane in Gather Round was outstanding. He was really, really good again
on the weekend.
Harry Sheasel is literally unstoppable. He's phenomenal. He will probably go on and win our best and fairest again this season.
He might do it for the next 15 years.
Literally,
mate.
The way he's going.
Has he got six more years? He might get seven best and fairest.
Imagine. Look, I'm not complaining. Big Harry fan over here.
No, of course.
Blake Drury was excellent. We'll talk about him later in the show. But he was excellent in just his fifth game on the weekend. Tristan Sherry, again, another pretty dominant ruck display. So these players are sort of starting to step up, and there's obviously some that we want more from who we'll talk about as well. But I think that I actually think that the more we start to play together as a group, I think the confidence should actually be growing week by week.
When you go through a lot of the names though, like the Tom Powell is one of our more seasoned players and he just played his 50th.
Well, Nick Larkey plays his 100th game against Hawthorn this week.
Big Sue.
He's our fifth most experienced. Yeah, I think our fifth oldest on the list.
It's pretty wild, especially like the defence when you go through like – what's Chom played? Like 11 games, 12 games ever? Probably more. Apologies, Chom.
Yeah.
You know, Biggie played his second game ever down in the back. Like there's so little experience. The thing we'll talk about though, I don't think necessarily that the individuals are the problem. The one problem with the talent-wise definitely and what they bring not. The one problem with the individuals is the skill errors. And this is what the amount of times on the weekend that we held possession, and this goes into the next point. The amount of times that we held possession, short chipping, marks, and retained the ball was really, really good. We progressed the ball from our back 50 into the forward 50 as cleanly as I've seen this entire season.
We definitely looked to take control.
Yeah, the problem was the skill errors still happened. It was just we held the ball for longer before they happened.
Yeah.
Now, I know that the same result is bad, but going forward – there was a massive change of game plan on the weekend and I haven't heard many people chatting about it. And when I said this at halftime that I think this is the best we've played and people got very mad, that this is what I was meaning where last season when Jack Zeeble was sort of in defence and he was sort of starting that counterattack of chip the ball short, maintain possession, chip. We switched the ball more than we've done all season that last game.
Yeah.
We have more marks. Like, spoiler alert, here we're going to talk about marks. 88 to 129 marks.
Yeah,
we won 120 marks. It's so many marks.
41.
Yeah, roughly.
41. Roughly. Quick math.
It's a lot of marks.
Yeah, and a lot more.
I know that it led to the same issues of turnover and bounce back, but we're playing one of the best teams in the league. And I think going forward, we can build off that. North Ball sounds great, but North Ball doesn't work. We've seen that. I love the thought of North Ball, Marty.
I love North Ball.
But North Ball needs to be used in spurts. We need to control possession, get confidence. We hit as many targets as we've ever done in like three seasons on the weekend.
Yeah.
And once again, I know it led to a turnover eventually, but it wasn't the first kick out of defense was a turnover again and again and again.
It's
like
the start. It's definitely the start of something. And it's something we can build on as a club.
Because coming out of defense, we can't play North Ball coming out of defense.
Because the difference for us and Geelong is we had way more marks generally in the game, but Geelong had 22 marks inside 50 to our 11.
Yes.
So that's, our execution, which has been an age-old issue and everyone's tired of us banging on about it because we all talk about it.
35% inside 50 efficiency.
There's still those same issues, but, I think that it's something that we can sort of start to build on. That's what I think that, you can sort of start to piece.
But that's what I'm saying is like
together.
It's the first time I've seen something where we've had a little bit of control that we can build off.
Yeah.
We can't build off chaos and that's what North Ball is. Once we have the players to be able to execute North Ball, great. But like hold possession, control. Don't let them just flood against us and just overwhelm us. And then when we get one overlap handball, North ball's on. Then we go bang.
When our general defence as a team and pressure as a team, we can start to sort of lift that intensity and we can force teams to turn the ball over more. That's when we can catch them with North ball on the spread. But I think part of that as well, and there's been a lot of discussion, I'm sort of jumping off a little bit, but I'll come back to like the next point here. With a game plan that we used yesterday, it was definitely more of a team focus.
Yes.
And a team structure.
Which we got called out on through the week as well, after Brisbane.
Yeah, which is something we sort of lacked, and it was a lot more pressure on the individuals. There's been a lot of discussion, particularly after yesterday's game around, well, Zerha, there's already sort of been discussion about his future at North, but there's started to be a few rumours around LDU's future as well. He looks disinterested. He maybe doesn't look so engaged. And that's obviously something we'll have to address at the end of the year, and if he decides he wants to leave the club, that's, you know, I don't know anything either. This is just something that I've picked up on.
I think his contract's up at the end of next year.
Who knows? Whenever his contract's up, people think that maybe he's starting to look around. But we'll cross that bridge if and when it comes, right?
I think we can match both players, like we could Mackay. I know it rarely happens, but can match both players.
I think that we want to be in a position where Richmond was at sort of in that 2017 to 2020 period, where our structure is so solid that any player can come in and out of that side and we can still do damage and we can still win games because our structure and our foundation is so strong. Mm. So I think if we lean into yesterday's performance and we can sort of start to build on that, I think that we'll be better off. It's sort of future-proofing us a little bit. I think we'll be better off. Someone who came in yesterday against Geelong and just sort of seamlessly fit in was Biggie New, and he wasn't even selected initially when the teams were announced on Thursday. Callan Dawson rolled his ankle at training on Friday, so Biggie got a late call-up.
Yeah.
And I think he was so impressive.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, look, and obviously elephant in the room, he did have a couple of pretty bad turnovers exiting the 50. But other than that, I thought he was really good.
He was really good. His second game, first game for North.
Yeah.
And he's not someone I expected to have – like I didn't think that he would come in and have an impact straight away the way he did.
Well, mate, I'm not going to say I told you so, but I did say – that Biggie should start in round one, and for this exact reason.
Guys, Josh has finally proved me wrong on something, and now he's never going to let me forget it.
Every single week, Marnie, you know that. Now, I'm going to call these out when I can because people roast me enough, so I may as well take these when I can.
Taking it out of me.
I always like the look of Biggie because he's got raw elements that we need. He can mark the ball. He's got clean hands.
Yep.
He's athletic. The amount of times he was jumping over the top of packs and the spoils.
Yeah,
the spoils were fantastic. Yep. Took some great marks. I know he had those two howlers coming out of the fence his second game in AFL football.
Yeah.
You know, other than that, his disposal was pretty clean. He was very willing to switch as well.
Yeah.
Him and Chom both kicking out of the back line, especially Chom. Chom was fantastic.
He looked so good again. I can't. I'm so proud of him, honestly.
Yeah. I love that guy.
I love him.
Chom, seriously, mate, we love
him. We love you. He knows that, though.
He does know that. Yeah, he was fantastic. Like, a really good backup performance. Luke McDonald, like, is someone you wanted to chat about a little bit, or you were talking to me about as well. The dude gets roasted so much, and
he's a scapegoat.
He is 100% a scapegoat. We're not saying he's amazing. Is he Luke McDonald from a few years ago who was playing really well with better players around him? No.
He's serviceable, and he was far from our worst yesterday.
He gives actual, like, effort. His leadership is his effort and his desire to win the ball. And he's always going to tackle, and he's always going to chase and be aggressive. Sometimes is he good enough? No, but that's everyone in our team right now.
Look, I think the issue with Luke McDonald, and again, we're jumping around a little bit, but I think the issue with Luke McDonald is while he was good, he was solid yesterday, I'll use that word, he probably still wouldn't get a game at another club. So
I don't know if I agree with that. I don't think
he would.
He'd get into the Hawks. He'd get into West Coast.
I don't think he would. And honest with you, if Goda and or Miller Bergman were
maybe not Miller, but Miller Bergman hasn't proven everything. I think Goda, yes.
I think one of them would probably be playing ahead of McDonald, to be honest with you.
Well, I think McDonald's playing. I mean, look, we're going to a lot of individual players, but we're just talking about the back line as a whole. That maybe is a good way to do it.
So,
you know, like Core, as we've talked about, doesn't offer – like, would you pick Core or McDonald? McDonald, easily. Easily. For me anyway. Like,
they're not
shuffling the defense around. If say Bergman or Goda was gonna come in.
Well, I would definitely play McDonald, but I think I would do it on form, but also like he's definitely stepping up as a leader more so of the two of them. I'm so sad about the fall of Aiden Core. Like honestly. You guys want to know what keeps me up at night?
I'm not going to say I told you.
You want to
so
know what keeps me up at night, you guys, is that Aiden Kaur's form has done yet another 180.
Yep.
And I'm sitting here now and I'm like, where
looking
has...
Looking like a fool.
Not looking like a fool. Because I stand by everything I said about him in the second half of last year.
I think the thing for me was like, I just didn't believe it would continue.
Short memory. I actually really didn't like Aiden Kaur at the start of last year.
No, we know.
Okay?
It was just how hard you jumped on the train, Marnie.
Because he was so good and I just wanted to
back
him in.
But I also knew he was good. But I wanted to back him in, but... The 2 years before just told me and showed me it's probably not going to last.
I'm so upset because honestly,
just wait till the last 2 months of the year when it doesn't matter anymore. That's when he'll step up.
Prime Aiden Kaur back in form.
yeah, that's his prime time. So at the end of the year when it doesn't
matter. Let's talk about Aiden Kaur, right? Because I think we've got a bit of a dilemma now going into our game against the Hawks. First of all, if Dawson's fit or not, that's the first dilemma. If he is fit,
because Dawson's been our best defender.
I think he needs to come in for Kaur.
100%.
Because at the moment, they're playing a like-for-like kind of role.
Well, Kaur did play on Charlie Cameron a little, which I hate that matchup, by the way. And like I know...
Charlie or Jeremy?
Charlie Cameron? Which is the one from Brisbane?
Charlie Cameron. Yeah, okay.
Aiden Kaur played on Charlie Cameron and then against Brisbane and he was on, is it Parfitt or Stengel? I think he was on Stengel for a lot of stints.
Stengel played really well yesterday.
He did. Well, what a surprise. Aiden Kaur's own. So, but like, if they're so unconfident of him playing on at all and having to put him on, like, Charlie Cameron's like the best small forward in the game.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Are we so desperate we need him in that back line? Because he doesn't get
he's
in
not
on form.
Really, he's not
he
really adding
He gets in there because he's in the leadership group.
No, I'm done with that now.
Well, I also agree. But
the hard thing is that our leadership, and we'll talk about this in a second, our leadership in the side is probably one of our biggest problems at the moment.
Yeah.
But if, despite the fact that Aiden Kaur's in the leadership group, he's still offering nothing.
Yeah, I agree.
It doesn't help. And I'd rather, I'd rather just have a player in there that's actually playing good footy.
We agree on this. I just don't think he'll get dropped, which is wrong. But I just don't think he will. I think if we're having to play him on smalls now because Clarkson's so unconfident that he can't play on a big at all, even like a hip-footer wasn't in the best form, you know, they obviously had no Tom Hawkins yesterday, so they had some that Ruckman's name they played, number 33 they played down there. Anyway, obviously not even playing on him. What are we doing with this guy on the side? Like, apparently Jackson Archer killed it on the weekend. Like, it's possessions-wise wasn't fantastic, but locked his opponent down. Dawson to come back in. Logue will come back as well.
This is the definition of being caught between a rock and a hard place. With Aiden Kaur. It is. Because
I know. Well, they did this by putting him in the leadership group.
Yeah, well, that's a big mistake, isn't it?
It is. A couple of quick ones. We still look super unfit as well. I think we look so unfit. Even the first quarter, players are gassed, hands on knees, on hips, that sort of stuff. From a preseason that was all about fitness, I think it's pretty disappointing with how they've come back.
And we looked pretty cooked pretty quickly. Like halfway
very
through
quickly.
The second quarter, we already hands on knees, as you said. It's a big issue.
Big issue. We've touched on that before, but that's a big issue. Our midfield strength, once again, we get bullied in the midfield. Yeah. Wardlaw was poor and we know what I think of George Wardlaw and his future. But
George Wardlaw is someone that has got more work rate and a better work ethic than anyone.
I would never question the
side.
Man's work rate.
No, so maybe he just needs a week in the VFL. Just to recoup
maybe.
A little bit.
Yeah, maybe. But, you know, I think it has to be like a learn on the job sort of thing. Someone has to step up in there. And LDU's stats look great. But once again, I think he's been a bit disappointing just from effort and intent.
Just looks a bit disengaged.
Does look a bit disengaged.
At the moment, which is really disappointing.
We need to do something about our midfield with Grant. If that's put Hugh Greenwood in there. Wasn't great on the weekend, but you'd be stoked. Putting Hugh Greenwood in the midfield,
I think would be fantastic.
Just the closest thing to Cunnington we've got on our list, you know. We'll stand over the ball, won't be brought to the ground super easy. We'll feed the ball out and just be a tough in and under guy.
Will Phillips, I mean, that's
like, but he's. But do we even think he's going to get a game? I don't.
No, I don't.
So
I think they're just teasing us.
Yeah, we've got all – imagine like you know, if our midfield was just all outside running mids. Like, that's basically what it feels like right now. And there's no grunt. So,
and the Will Phillips thing, I think, is disappointing because Will Phil, one of the reasons why North was so keen to bring him into the club is because of his leadership qualities. He was captain throughout his juniors at various stages. And right now, the leadership, and I've just said this before, our leadership situation looks quite dire. I mean, McDonald was okay, but I don't think he's – I wouldn't consider him a strong leader, if I'm honest.
Well, Simpkins' performance was pretty, very average.
He's been pretty disappointing.
He got a little bit more midfield time, it looked like, through the game, but once again, yeah, sort of, but he just, impacted a bit late. But
it's just not – like, we're not seeing him perform anywhere near where we need him to perform or what we know he can do. Core, obviously, we speak about at length, no good. Hugh Greenwood was really disappointing yesterday. And you know if I say that.
Yeah, it means he wasn't good.
It means he really wasn't good. He was just so quiet. He just couldn't get himself into the game now.
Yeah, I don't think it was him not when he's around the ball. Like, he just didn't get near the
ball. No, and look.
When he was there in contest, I thought he was strong and tough and battled. And he once again had the most tackles for us in the game.
And look, Greenwood, maybe Clarko should have done him a favour and just thrown him in the middle a little
bit. Yeah, I think absolutely.
Just to get him involved in the
game. He doesn't look great as a forward. That's the thing. I know maybe he had a couple of little patches last year. He doesn't really look very good
as
a forward.
Well, he's been playing this like negating forward role. Like he played on Harris Andrews against Brisbane to kind of shut Harris Andrews down. I don't know if he did the same thing on Tom Stewart yesterday.
But he didn't look like he was in the forward line very much.
Got plenty of the ball. So I'm not really sure what happened there. Maybe I just wasn't paying enough attention. I don't know.
Or look away from the screen.
But Larky has a lot to carry on his own shoulders being the sole key forward. And I mean, Tyler Sellers unfortunately just didn't have the debut,
Tyler Sellers.
Debut that we were hoping that
his
he would
have. His one touch was a turnover,
But you know
guy.
What? Larky didn't have a touch in his first game.
No, I think
that exposure is probably what's going to be the best for Tyler and hopefully will build his confidence.
I hope he gets a game this week coming up against a bit of an easier defence to maybe give him some confidence. The one thing I don't like about Tyler Sellers is he got one possession because I was so ready to say, don't worry, mate. Nick Larky had one possession as well, and look how he turned out. Because you got one possession, I couldn't tweet that and Facebook it and Instagram it.
It's all right. We still believe in you, Tyler.
Yes.
It's only up from here.
Hey, you got more possessions than Nick Larky did in his first game. And that means you're going to be even better than Nick Larky. I think that's how it works, right?
I think that's fair. That's a fair comment. But just going back to the leadership, I mean, currently our two strongest leaders are Wardlaw and Sheasel. And we've said this.
And Larky. Larky's a great leader.
Larky's a good leader. I think Larky's had a – I know we disagree on this. I think Larky's had a quiet start to the year. I don't know if that's the pressure on him. I don't know if it's the attention that he's gaining.
Look at the forward 50 efficiency.
The entries into forward 50 obviously don't help. To be fair, part of that's probably Paul Curtis has really stepped up, which is obviously only a good thing. But I just – yeah, I think we need to – demand more from our more senior players, and that is why, albeit Will Phil's not a senior player, but you know, he's got these leadership qualities. Bring him in, give him a crack. I think that if he had an opportunity, he would be really hungry to prove himself and do what he could. Blake Drury, I already spoke about Blake Drury once, and I'm going to speak about him again, and we'll speak about him again. also was a leader in his junior career, I think he was excellent yesterday.
That was like I said about Lazaro last year. That was the first moment I've seen Blake Drury have a game because I didn't think he was very good last year at all. I thought he's very, very underwhelming for all the games he played last year. That was the game that I saw, like Lazaro last year, against the Suns.
Yep.
That's what you can do in a football
My
field.
Brother's a very, very big Blake Drury fan and I really trust my brother's
Because I've been
judgment.
Critical on Blake Drury. I said even a couple of weeks ago, I just don't think he'll make it at this level, and that game proved me completely wrong.
Well, that
which
game
was fantastic.
Makes me want to see him stay in the side now because that performance was better than any performance Jaden Stevenson's given us all season so far.
Sure.
And that's a like-for-like replacement. So at this stage, as long as he keeps performing and if he can back up his performance next week, I'd be more than happy to see him in there and keep him in there for sure.
Well, we'll talk about some individual players in a second. Or we'll go to that now because we've already probably talked about half of them.
Wait, we'll stop talking about it because we want to hear from you guys.
That is true.
Thanks again to everyone who sent their voice memo in. We include voice memos every single week now
Absolutely.
On the Further North pod. So after every game, feel free to email us your voice memos, 10 to 15 seconds of your very, very best.
Bring the energy.
To furthernorthpod@gmail.com. So we'll hand it over to you guys for now and we'll be back to talk about individual players in a sec.
Energy! Go north! Bottom of the ladder! Woohoo!
Harry Sheezel punching the ground in the goal square after trying to stop three Geelong players by himself is pretty much sums up where we are. And Simpkin and McDonald should not be captain. Spuds.
Didn't even watch the game yesterday. Wasn't surprised with the result. Just get down to Marvel, 4 p.m. on Sunday, to watch the Spoon Bowl between us and Hawthorn. Go North.
Hey everyone at the Further North Pod. We all knew that the first 5 weeks were going to be rough. We probably hoped that it wasn't going to be as rough as it has been. But over the next few weeks in between now and the bye, that's where we find out where we're at as a club. And fingers crossed the boys can show us how it's done.
At the end of the day, we're a very young team. We're the youngest by far in the league. It will turn. The rebuild only started last year. We need to be patient and understand that as time goes on, we will start to beat teams and we'll win those games down in Geelong. Just give it a few years.
Okay, we're back.
Thank you for the voice messages, and there will be more coming up as well. If you didn't hear yours just then, it will be coming very, very soon. Individual players. Tom Powell, he's going to be a Jet.
In his 50th game. Was great. One thing I do love about Tom Powell is he does give 100% at every contest and he goes hard at every ball.
He's been our best mid this year.
Super clean, also picking it up off the deck a few times. I noticed that yesterday. I think that what he's been able to do so far this season has been so impressive. And I, you know, at the start of the season, I thought that Lazaro and Phillips were ahead of him, but he's completely done a 180.
Yep, for sure.
And for me now, he's well and truly, and I said this last week as well, he's well and truly at the front of that pack.
Mm. No, absolutely. Continuously turning up in games. And look, maybe it wasn't an outstanding game or had the impact that maybe he's had, you know, earlier in the season, but still our best midfielder on the day. And a very solid contributor.
100%.
Talk about Harry Sheezel, Marty, please.
Honestly, we just need a team of 23 Harry Sheezels.
Can we get a 200-centimetre Harry Sheezel?
You know what's interesting about Sheez, right? So he had, 38 touches or something yesterday?
80-something percent.
Like, just ridiculous. But it's just like the fact that this conversation this week is like, oh my God, he's incredible. When last week he probably had like 30 touches and, you know, just went about his business.
What are you doing, Harry? 30 touches, mate. That's pathetic.
It's actually insane. Like, I don't think people understand how incredible and how incredibly talented this guy is.
Yeah, he's just day one. He's just so good.
I think now the plan needs to be that he needs to start to move up the ground.
Well, we saw him get on the end of the ball just outside the 50 and two bullet passes, which led to direct shots at goal. Look at this guy. It's unfortunate because we need him in the back line and in the forward line.
Yeah.
But, you know, he said in his interview after the game that it wasn't actually part of the game plan to get him up the pitch more. It just turned out that way. So I wonder if the kick, mark, handball, control thing allowed him to have more time to get forward instead of doing one kick out of the back line, then it just going over his head. And that's kind of what I was trying to talk about in the first segment was, you know, this possession, more possession style game is what made me excited and made me feel okay about yesterday's performance because that's allowing more players to run past. We can't make decisions quick enough to move the ball as quick as North Ball wants to. So in the meantime, we hold possession a bit more and we transition the ball forward.
Keep the footy in our hands a little bit more.
Yeah, and that gave Sheezel the time to be able to push forward because it doesn't get turned over within 10 seconds.
And the good news as well that came out of the game, obviously Colby McKercher was subbed off pretty early on and went to hospital.
Yeah, no broken ribs.
No broken ribs. Mm. So that's great news and hopefully we'll see him back out there sooner rather than later. With him in the back line, I think it does allow Sheezel to free up and kind of move forward a little bit. Yeah. And then hopefully, potentially with a Jackson Archer coming in, then also it gives Sheez, you know, that freedom to kind of push up a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see how the team looks this week and if he does spend more time up forward.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be interesting because I was trying to think of some changes before and I feel like there's not probably heaps of names. There's more names that need to come in than need to go out this week. Because I do think as much as we grilled Aiden Corr before, I think it probably was his best game for the season. He did – well, I'm not saying it was great.
That's grim.
But I'm saying it's his. It was. Like,
you
know,
okay.
He took a decent intercept mark and his stats, I guess, look okay. But once again, I'm just not sure he's right. I feel like we can get other players
well, I just think
to do that.
That I just don't think that dropping Biggie after his performance yesterday.
No, we did say the same thing about Toby Pink though. But I think Biggie's performance was better than maybe any of Toby Pink's. I don't think Toby Pink was like awful. I didn't like his first game.
Toby Pink had a few solid games, whereas I think
Biggie stood out.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. He had more of an impact.
And it kind of, and also now that Combin's there, they kind of work really well together hand in hand, I think.
I think so, because like they were both, the first quarter, like Chom took 3 intercept marks in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And Biggie took a nice one as well, which gave us the ball under control to be able to move the ball a little bit more. It shows how massive intercept marking is.
I just think the dynamic of that, because obviously Chom came in for Toby Pink, so I think the dynamic now in the back line, they kind of seem to be working really well
and
together.
And I think once we get Chom, Dawson and Logue, then we can start to build off something in that back line. But Luke McDonald, we've talked about him. Thought his game was pretty good and
definitely not our worst. And yeah, like we said before, I'm just sick of people. I think people use him as a scapegoat.
I agree.
And like I said, do I think that he would get? I personally don't think he would get a game in another team. I know you obviously disagree with that.
He would get in somewhere
right now for where our team is at, who's available, and the personnel available to us. He's got to stay in. He's not in there.
Hasn't done anything wrong this season, and
as he
tore a game apart, but that's never been him. So
no, so
he does. He's doing what he needs to do. You know, he's a player that's gonna, you know, his disposal was awful the last 2 years, but who's he kicking to? You know what I mean? Who's going to be running past to receive the handball? You know what I mean? Like, it's much easier when Ben Cunnington and Jack Siebel are around you and Andrew Swallow and Higgins are kicking the ball to you.
Yeah.
Ah, the good old days.
Look, I think, I think he definitely was far from our worst yesterday. And I think that he's doing enough at the moment. And I think, like I said, he just needs to step up more as a leader.
I agree, if anything,
that's his contribution.
We've spoken a lot about Blake Drury. Couple of goals, showed some nice signs. He did well pushing outside the 50 to get some marks. His decision making, maybe kicking into the 50. I mean, the whole team's decision making kicking into the 50 is awful. But you know, if we can, we got a lot of marks. Dersma did this a lot as well. Eddie Ford did this a lot. Marking the ball sort of at forward flank area, about 60 to 70 metres out.
Yeah.
It's that next decision. But we're getting it. That was the first game we kept possession up the wing and through the middle and had the opportunity to hit someone.
Another thing I liked about Blake Drury is he was really lively. And I've felt like we've been really stagnant as a team.
Oh,
if we've got, you know, if someone's got the ball coming out of halfback, no one's
long,
running.
Kick it long, kick
yeah,
it long.
Yeah, no one's running. No one's trying to create an option. No one's trying to move into space, where I felt like Blake Drury was sort of on the move quite a bit.
Well, that's what I liked the most about yesterday is we weren't just blazing away all the time. We were actually slowing it down, switching and hitting
targets.
And
that's a work rate thing for the team overall. So, no, I thought he was he had a really, really nice return in his first game for the season, and I'd be keen to see if he can back it up next week.
Yeah. Chom and Biggie partnership, we've talked about that sort of already. It just shows the control we can gain from having intercepting players.
Yeah.
I think Dawson, you know, it'd be interesting to see Chom on a guy like a Hawkins. He didn't get that chance. He said to us he's the one he's probably the most scared of playing on, and I was going to mess you and be like, mate, this is what you talked about on the live show. But obviously Hawkins didn't play, and Jeremy Cameron's not really that one-on-one forward. He's a lead-up. He's so skillful.
Cameron's on another level.
Yeah, so like, you know, he hasn't really played against a proper one-on-one Hawkins, Taylor Walker sort of guy.
Yeah.
But I'd probably put Callan Dawson in that role with Chom or Biggie floating across those sort of players at the moment. So, look, it's building a decent partnership, and, you know, I never thought this season we'd be saying, do we pick, you know, Chom, Biggie, Dawson, Logue when he comes back. Imagine at the start of the year we thought we'd have defensive options. Are any of them amazing? Chom could be for sure. That's probably the only guy who's going to maybe potentially be one of the better defenders in the game just with talent and age and that sort of stuff, but we liked what we saw.
Again, though, and it comes back to a point I made earlier, yes, obviously having individually talented players is important, but if we can get that
system
and structure right, then hopefully we can just make these changes as we need, and, you know, every player can come in, they know their role and they can play their role.
Mm.
So, you know, it is, but I think it's a good discussion to have as well. It shows that we do have some depth, and there are players who will start to, you know, make a case for themselves in the VFL. And considering where we're at as a football club, I think we actually really need that at the moment.
Yeah. Nick Larkey consistently is getting edged out of contests. He's taken – and I can't remember the listener's name. There's a listener who messaged today and gave me some Nick Larkey stats. He's taken one contested mark for the year. Not that that's ever been his game, but he needs to do – and I think it was against Geelong. He took a good, decent contested mark against Geelong, I'm pretty sure, in the first half. I don't know what's going on where he consistently is getting nudged out and pushed under the ball legally as well. Like a nudge or just getting bodied out of the contest is fine. He's not getting pushed in the back. So there's something where he's just – getting pushed under the ball all the time. Hold your ground and don't run and jump at the ball so soon. If you're always overrunning it, then you should be able to adjust to that. You're a star, Nick Larkey, and I love the leadership and the way he speaks. If there was anyone in this club that I would want to speak about his love for the club, where we're going and how he feels, it's him.
Yeah. Great leader.
And he has kicked goals as well. You know what I mean? Like he did kick two with like five touches, and that's kind of all he's got to do at the moment. You know what I mean? If he gets 10 touches and you kick seven. You know what I mean? So, look, I'm not saying he's bad or anything like that because Nick Larkey's a star.
Not bad.
But, like, he just consistently gets edged under the ball and he needs to find a way to fix that. You go. Do you want to go to the next one or not?
Do you think he's playing for free kicks?
I think everyone in the AFL plays for free kicks more these days because you can see on the ground it's becoming slowly more and more like the EPL. But I think that's just a generational thing. I think when soccer and basketball are getting watched by young kids more, you get taught to play for free kicks a little bit more.
Yeah, but like think about his game, right? Like he does get manhandled a lot and he has been manhandled in the past. And so part of me just kind of and he's rewarded maybe not often as he should be.
Well, his second goal was a free kick, which was probably questionable.
You know, it's sort of one of those things where I'm like, look, the delivery to him sucks and we know that. But it just he doesn't look the same as he looked last year. Mm. And the delivery was sucky last year too.
Yeah.
And I'm just sort of like, how much of this is poor delivery and how much of this is you also like you are the man. You demand where the ball needs to go. You dictate how the play needs to go. You lead into the open space. Like there needs to be a bit more synergy. And like he's played with guys like LDU in the past. He's played with Powell, you know, he's played with Simkin. Like these are the guys that are for the most part delivering the ball into the forward 50. They should be able to kind of work hand in hand.
There should be more synergy there for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly. So but part of me, and then obviously we spoke last week.
I don't think North Ball gives us the opportunity to be able to deliver it to him though, because there's young, like there's no Carrington, there's no Zeeble. There's no Taron Thomas,
yeah, but
all
there
that
was
sort
no
of stuff.
North Ball last week, yesterday.
But that's what I'm saying is like, you know, I think to build off that game plan we played yesterday compared to, you know, what we've tried with North Ball, I think will allow us once we get it to deliver to him better.
Sure, but I also think he just needs to be a bit stronger.
Yeah,
okay, he needs to be stronger in the contest physically. He needs to be stronger with his demands and where he wants the ball to go and where he, you know, to benefit him because at the end of the day, he's one of the best players on our list. Yeah. And so he should be, you know, that should be feeding through to the midfield.
Yeah.
And there needs to be better synergy. And it's a bit weird. I don't know. I'm not too sure. I haven't been wrapped with this start of the season, but then like I touched on at the top of the show.
Let's see where he is in the next 5-6 weeks of football when we come up against some slightly lesser defences.
Yeah, and also maybe the even spread with Eddie Ford and Paul Curtis in particular getting involved is it's better for us long term.
Yeah, and if Sellers can step up to even be a little threat, that's going to help
him.
I think he will.
I think he'll find his feet. Are we going to be patient enough to persist with him for a few weeks until he finds his groove? That's another question.
Bailey Scott's performance was diabolical.
I hated
everything about his performance and his stats and numbers suggest he had a good game. No. If anyone watched that game, he was the worst on the park by a mile. The amount of times that guy kicked the ball out of defence, it was like this happened against Brisbane as well, exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like the opposition was leading for him out of our back 50 and he just kicked it straight to their chest. There were so many times he looked inboard with a little kick and he'd missed the target by 3 or 4 metres. I think if he got dropped, I wouldn't be unhappy this week.
Why is he still playing in the back line?
No idea. He's shocking in the back line.
I've got to say, Darcy Tucker was actually not bad yesterday.
No, that didn't influence the game at all, but that was his best game.
But and Dylan Stevens still, again, wasn't – there wasn't
He was a little bit better. When he was around the ball, he was lively, but once again, not getting the ball enough.
Out of that group, Scott is still our best wingman.
I agree he's our best, but he was – I would rather, like, He was our worst yesterday out of all of those.
Okay.
And his stats don't suggest that, but if you watch the game, you'll know.
I don't think they'll drop him.
No, I don't think they'll drop him either. But his second half redeemed himself a bit. That was one of the worst first half of football
I've
seen.
It's just
going
to cost us, like, especially in the first quarter and a half. Yeah. I actually felt like we were playing okay football.
But he made these turnovers like off the back line and on the wing as well.
And that's so frustrating because, you know, at least we were speaking during the game and I said to you, it's so weird because halfway through the second quarter, I actually felt so okay with where we were at.
Yeah.
And I was actually pretty happy with how we were playing. And then you look at the scoreboard and we're already like 7 or 8 goals down.
Yeah, it didn't
and
feel...
And stupid turnovers like that just absolutely kill us.
Yeah. And so he needs to be so much better. It's 2 weeks in a row he's been like that. The last 2 weeks of Bailey Scott has been atrocious. Like it was so, so, so bad. And I really like Bailey Scott and I think he can be a great player. He rightly so third in our best and fairest last year and young 100%. Player. So like I'm not doubting his ability, but he's had 2 shockers and his second half last week redeemed him. And that will be the only reason he's in the team next week. Stop playing this man in the back line. I don't know what dirt he's got on Clarko or what's going on. Clarkson,
please.
Have you won a premiership before? Apparently. So
he's won plenty.
Move him because he's bad back there. He's really bad. He's so bad under pressure in that back line. Like he'll turn it over, he'll get tackled. He needs the ball running from the wing into the forward 50. That's where he's shone for his whole career. So I don't understand. This is like putting Jaden Stevenson in the back pocket stuff. That's how I feel about it.
Well, again, maybe with Jackson, I mean, I don't know, I'm putting a lot of pressure on Jackson Archer, but maybe if they do value his performance in the VFL really, really well over the weekend.
You've got Fisher down there and you've got Sheasel down there. Why do we
Fisher's
need...
Fisher's also had a pretty underwhelming start to the year.
Yeah, I think he's been fine. I think it's an adjustment coming from a team that you have good players around you to going to a team you have bad players around you and you need to learn how to do with those. I don't think he's made any massive grave errors, really. I know Carlton, he
really
did that switch where it didn't work at all, but, you know, not droppable at all. He racks up the ball, and I guess it's like Bailey Scott.
No, but there's a big difference between being droppable and having an impact, and I want players that are having an impact.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think Zach Fisher's been like Darcy Tucker's last game. I think he's been there.
That,
you know what I mean?
Say much.
Well, just Darcy Tucker's last game. Zach Fisher's been way better than Darcy Tucker this season.
Yeah, I think so, but I don't think the hype that followed him when he came from Carlton.
Yeah,
I haven't seen any of that yet.
But that's the hype of North Ball is like, oh my God, and North Ball sucks. Like it does.
North Ball doesn't suck.
It does suck. Look at the losses we've had. We don't have the players to play North Ball. We get excited before every single season to be like, oh my God, Zach Fisher, Dylan Stevens could change it. I'm the same.
Yeah.
North Ball, look how quick we beat Collingwood in the preseason.
It comes back to a point I made last week. Like we just want something to believe in.
Yeah, 100%. But it's like, you know, I don't blame Zach. There's a difference. Zach Fisher and Bailey Scott, let's compare those, right? They're playing a similar position.
Yeah.
Their numbers look great. Mm. Zach Fisher doesn't negatively, go against this team. But what Bailey Scott's done the last 2 weeks has cost us.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
That's a fair assessment.
What I mean? Yeah. So for sure. They can both be really, really good. But Zach Fisher has proven he can play down there more. I don't understand why we need McKercher, Bailey, you know, Sheasel, Fisher, all these guys, all these attacking small players in our back line. It's rubbish. And it doesn't surprise me at all that we have like McDonald back and Biggie plays better and Chom goes back in there for some actual defense. We start to, as a system, look better. I know we gave up as many points as we did, but that performance gave me more confidence to build off. So look, I'm kind of ranting
now.
No,
I get it. And I think
you know what I mean?
I think the idea is that we do have these, you know, these handful of key defenders, but then we do because we want to be stronger on the attack, and that's sort of what was the narrative coming into this season. So the idea for me in the long term is we've got these attacking players coming off halfback, like you've got Cheese, like you've got Fish, like you've got Bailey Scott, hypothetically, whatever.
Yeah.
But then across the board, and this is where we're falling down, is across the board our defense is really poor.
Yeah, but I honestly think the defense around the midfield has been worse than the defense in the back line.
Yeah.
Especially the last 2 weeks. Look at the intercept marks we've taken the last couple of weeks with Chom, Biggie, those guys down there. We look better with McDonald.
Yeah, well,
the
ball
line
is transitioned, especially when we turn it over in our forward 50. The ball is transitioned so easily from one end to the other, and it's not necessarily done. Yeah, it's done quickly and cleanly, but it's mainly because the opposition just have so many, like it's so holy up.
Yeah, I agree. And I know for a lot of people it's not going to make sense, and I'm sure they're going to be typing awful messages to me already. But like the last 2 weeks, defensively, I think the structure's been better, but we've copped the two biggest losses of the season. Hopefully the only ones of the season like that.
Well,
but
because
hopefully people can understand what I'm trying to say.
Well, there's only so much an individual can do. I mean, we sat here at the end of the game against Brisbane and said that Charlie Comben was our best player, yet we got belted by 17 points. We're sitting here again and we're saying Charlie in particular was one of our best again yesterday.
Absolutely was.
But it's only so much that one person can do.
Yeah, if it wasn't coming in, so this is where my biggest flaw for North Melbourne is our midfield right now, which is so concerning because that's meant to be our best area.
Yeah.
Not attacking wise, our midfield attack is good enough. Defensively, our midfield is pathetic. Mm. No one wants to tackle. We can't stop it from getting out of there at all. Another stat, and I'm not blaming Tristan Jerry at all. I think he's had a really good year.
He's had a great year.
But you know, the hit outs, 41 to 28 hit outs, and we lost the clearances 31 to 38.
So he's not getting it to the advantage.
So he's winning the hit outs. I think he still needs to be better around the ground. He's improved a lot from last year around the ground. But I don't remember him taking a contested mark on the weekend. I don't really remember him getting the ball much apart from being in the ruck.
Yeah.
And we need a ruckman like a Tim English or a Luke Jackson or something, not that archetype, but someone who can take that relieving mark down the wing. So the real problem for the defense for me maybe isn't personnel. I know people, it's easy to point to look at the lack of experience, and that absolutely has a part to play.
It comes back to that team structure.
But how quickly our midfield and how unwilling our midfield is to chase and tackle and put pressure on is the biggest reason for me why we're giving up so many
points.
Yeah,
it's hard to disagree
with
that.
If they could fix it 10-20%.
Yeah.
We probably conceded 40 points yesterday.
Yeah.
If we have someone who can tackle, stop the ball, if Jerry can maybe give us first use, we don't get scored against like that.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm saying. I liked the control we had. It's more our midfield that's disappointing to me than our back line.
Makes sense.
You know what I mean? The back line's bad. I'm not saying it's not the problem at all.
Obviously, it's a big work of progress across the board. I mean, we are incredibly inexperienced. We're sitting at the bottom of the ladder and we've been there for a few years now. So I think as long as we can kind of walk away from these games and just try and take a little bit of positivity and a little bit of improvement.
But I think there's big positivity to take from that, from the possession that we held. It still ended in the same result, but I liked the style way more.
We just can't execute, mate. We're rubbish.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been an age-old issue at North. Even when we were good.
Yeah, that is true.
We still had similar issues like this, but obviously some of these issues have been festering.
The last thing I'll say quickly, and maybe this is more for a point we'll make after we go to the next viewer voice chat, is, you know, I think we're a lot further away than people wanted to believe at the start of the year. The whole 2 years away, 3 years away from being in the finals, it's not happening.
I don't buy it. I disagree with you.
I know, and that's fine. Like, we're like 5 to 8 million. Like, I don't think where we're at right now, unless something changes within literally before the bye,
I don't think
we're making the finals in Clarkson's contract.
I don't think we can have this discussion or make a judgment on this until the bye.
Absolutely. But my gut feeling right now is that. But I also don't think that's a massive problem. I said to you on the phone when we talked after the game, you know, Paul Ruse went into the D's. He didn't win them their flag.
He built the foundation for success.
And I think I would like Clarkson to be more transparent with what's going on, and is this as bad as he thought it was, or is this part of the plan? Are we stable? I'd like to be more transparent. I don't know how you do that without giving things to the media for them to make articles and make up stories with. But if he's here to stabilize us, get us fighting for the finals again, and then he's just burnt out and not in a dimmer way and just going to backstab the club. But like, he gets us to a point where we're stable, we're fighting, we're winning, you know, 6 to 10 games a year. And then we get the next coach to come in who's like a Craig McRae, is youthful, innovative, and is going to take us to the next level. Sweet. If we win one premiership in my life, Marnie, I'm stoked.
Yeah,
as North fans, we're going to hold that for the rest of our life, and we should.
Of course.
Every Collingwood fan knows they're going to see more premierships. That's not fun. Like Nick Larkey said in his interview today, you know, winning a premiership at a club like this where you've been through the hard times, you fight and you battle, is going to mean more. Every Collingwood fan I talk to knows they're going to win another premiership. That's fun.
And I'm jealous of you.
I don't know if we're ever going to be that. We've always been that club that like needs to fight, and that's kind of what I love about them. But our one premiership will mean more than, you know, a sustained, like, you know, Collingwood's three, they might win in the next 10 years or something like that.
I just want to say one thing to your point about Clarko being more transparent about where the club's at and that sort of thing. I think there's two elements as to why I disagree with you. The first thing is, and I've talked about this before, I think if you can't believe in what you're building and what you're doing at the club, then why would anyone else believe it?
So if Clarko, they need to show us that though.
So if Clarko, but I think he trusts that the club's on the right track. Yeah,
but like tell, convince, how are you meant to convince, like how is, what can he do to make us feel better about
by
it?
By remaining calm through this situation. I mean, every single week, the amount of people that I read Twitter pretty actively, and the amount of fans who have threatened to give up on the club, to walk out on the club, they can't do this anymore. If he sits there and he, A, feeds into the negativity, or B, creates chaos and panic, what – that does not do anyone any good.
I'm not really asking him to do stuff like that. I think I want to know that – this is we're on track, and I don't know how
he's been saying that pretty much all season.
Yeah, but
now.
It doesn't feel like it. Like it's body language. He's saying the exact same things in the press conferences, which, okay, I understand. He's saying that we're young. I don't really think he's saying we're on track at all. There's what I get from it is he's saying, "Oh, we're young, so it's going to happen. It's young, we're young, so it's going to happen." Well, you know that's fine, but it's kind of not, because we're watching bad performance after bad performance. And I know I said there's positives from the game, but I think I would like a little bit more insight into what we're doing. Like, and I understand he probably can't tell us because he doesn't want coaches to know, but what is he doing to make the midfield work more? That's the stuff I'm talking about.
I know what you mean. Unfortunately, I think we're in this really delicate position with Clarko. I think he is a very much hunted
man. And that might be why he's holding back.
And I think that what I would be doing is I would be taking away things that someone like Charlie said in his interview after the game against Brisbane, or Nicola Aki's interview today that you watched. Mm. I think Clarko is in a really compromised position.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I think there's knives out and everyone's waiting him to say one little thing or to slip up and say one thing. But look, all I can really say is that it is really hard to sit here and watch the club week in, week out and, you know, be belted, right? And I don't like it, and you don't like it, and no one likes it, right? But I've said this to you before, the only thing that makes it harder for me than watching it from afar, like from watching it week in, week out, is watching it from afar. I didn't make it to Geelong yesterday, and that killed me. It actually killed my soul not being there, because I felt like, and I know for a fact that us supporters being there week in, week out, like really makes a big difference. And I think that if people want to sit there on Twitter, or they want to make videos and they're threatening to quit, you know, supporting the club, do it. Just go. Like, it's fine. But I think the club is in a position now where, like, and it is so, trust me, I know it's hard, because I also sit there and watch this week in, week out. And I know that I have this delusional mindset, and I completely understand that, it, you know, maybe it can be really annoying for someone to, I think I obviously can point out negatives, and I've literally sat here and pointed things out every single week that, you know, we come on and we record. But I think that the more you buy into this now, and the more that you can hype up the club, you can make such a big difference, and then it will make the victories that we do have, because we will win games this year and we will start to move in an upward trajectory and we will make our way up the ladder. These things will happen, but you've got to believe they're going to happen.
Yeah.
And you've got to be willing to commit and be along for every step of the way and every single step of the ride.
Yeah, and I think, you know, to touch another point without going on, because we're going to get to the next voice messages. If anyone listening to this was those people who messaged Sonia Hood and abusing her on Twitter,
it's really disappointing.
Just go now and just go and join the Tassie team when they jump in, or go follow the Gold Coast or rubbish club like that. Honestly, like, you know, Sonia has done nothing but great things, and we love Sonia. And the fact that she felt like she had to like withdraw from all of that and deactivate her Twitter is disgusting. So
it's disappointing.
Look, it's disappointing.
She's always given. Like, she's always been so open.
Because she's so willing to – and people only did that because she's so willing to communicate, and you can't.
She's
take
one of us.
Of
I mean, she's been a North fan her whole life.
Mm.
So I just think that now is the time that we actually kind of need to kind of band together, and we do need to kind of come together.
I understand
one.
It's hard though, because it's hard to band together while you're watching
and it's hard
rubbish,
to,
but we have no choice.
And it's also hard to believe when sometimes you question if the players believe and you question if the play, if their hearts are in it. But just, I don't know, you've got to, you know, make football, find things, and I said this on the weekend, find things that make football fun and lean into it. Football for me is just as much about watching North play every week as it is going to the games with, you know, you and the Close Door Flag guys and my family and making it a fun day out and a fun experience and just having a good time. So just do that. If you can't find positivity or fun any, you know, in what you're watching week in, week out, then look for other ways to make football a pleasant experience, because if you look hard enough and if you make it a fun place to be, it can actually be a really, really great sort of relief on the week.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and we know that people are only upset and they're reacting this way because they're passionate and because they love the club. And
you can react in whatever way you want, but 100%. Keep your heads.
And just let's just try and kind of come together, particularly as we look on to Hawthorn next week. Let's just try and come together and get behind the club, and we can be the 19th man and we can be the ones to steer the club back in the right direction and, you know, hopefully towards a few wins.
I agree. Okay. If that doesn't rally the troops, I don't know what will. We're going to go to your voice messages and then we're going to talk about some ex-employees' tweets really quickly and club champ votes, and then we're going to end it. So
sounds good.
Talk to you guys soon.
Hey, Josh and Marnie. Yeah, I'm feeling good. Didn't watch the game. That's probably why. Well, we can't expect to be not bottom of the ladder after five straight losses. Them are the breaks.
To everyone saying North got handouts from the AFL, they need to look at our fucking drawer and know we're getting paid back for it now. Holy shit. I was there on Sunday. It was the absolute pits.
Biggie and Cumman are looking great. But engine room's got to get going. Second week in a row smashed. Without them running, we are just never going to get anywhere. And poor luck for Sellers. Good effort. So defeated, though. And go Shees.
In the words of the late, great Zach Fox, I got depression. Shout out mental illness. Shout out mental illness. Dude, if you've got a mental illness, like, fucking turn up, dude. Like, seriously, dude. That's how I feel about North at the moment.
The game plan is working well. The problem is the turnovers created from poor kicking skills and poor decision making as well. Playing that up, we're going to be a serious weapon. Also, shout out to our back line in Combin and Biggie. Absolutely unreal. They're going to be something for us. Go, Roos.
Okay. Some ex-North employees.
Yeah, after that motivational speak, we're going to speak.
Way to bring the mood down, Marnie.
Yes, no, it sounded really, really interesting after yesterday's game, and this is probably just to round out. And this probably just echoes, I guess, the frustration that we're all feeling. I know that you and I are sitting here and we're trying to be as positive as we can, but, you know, we're not going to sugarcoat it either. We still lost by 75 points.
It was a lot of points.
Rob Burton, he's ex-media from North Melbourne, after the game yesterday tweeted, "It's been all downhill since the club sacked three champions. Sadly, we've just never recovered. The famous shinboner culture is gone. For the sake of the incredibly loyal and patient fans, I hope it turns soon." Then Heath O'Loughlin, who was the head of comms at North at the same time that Rob was there.
Is that the man who versed the Majak?
Yes.
Yes.
Is it?
I think. Wasn't he there when it was man versus Majak? They did those YouTube videos. And didn't he do that?
Oh, maybe. He helped write Majak's book.
Oh, did he?
Yes, that's all I know. So he quote tweeted Rob's tweet and said, "Hard to argue it was a regrettable turning point, dot, dot, dot." And then in response to Heath O'Loughlin's tweet was Eugenia Rocker, "No argument here, remains a dark chapter in our history, culture sacrificed by removing three players who were fabric individuals to bring in journeymen. Not going to name them, but you know who they are."
Spicy stuff.
I mean, yeah.
Clearly frustration.
100%. And it's hard to argue with that, because we've always said that, you know, for a very long time now, that, you know, that kind of felt like the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I mean, you know, we're going to try and keep this short. It depends how much you want to talk about. We did discuss this a little bit. And I don't fully agree as much as you do. I have a slightly different point of view of, like, I didn't think getting rid of those guys at the time maybe was the worst idea. hindsight, yes, it was. But, you know, I always had the opinion of, like, is that the difference of, like, LDU or Simkin or someone getting games? Does Nick Larkey play as early as he does if, you know, Petrie's still there?
Yeah.
Was it awful getting rid of those guys and the way we did it? Yeah, I'll never, you know, say it was anything but. And has that had a big part to play in why we've downfallen a lot? Yes, but I think it is a little bit easy to say that it's because of that why the club is bad. There's been so many bad drafting decisions. You know, Benamafio.
Before and after.
Yeah, Benamafio was apparently a shambles, a bloke who didn't know anything about football, tried to run in a different way. You know, taking the easy way out of employing Reece Shaw, you know, instead of actually going and finding a proper coach. We just took the guy who got the new coach bounce and went, oh, yeah, we'll just employ him. And obviously David Noble was just an absolute shambles of an appointment. You know what I mean? So there's been so many other factors. Was it the start of a downfall?
Well, it was the first domino to fall.
It was the first domino, but I don't think that makes the decision of signing Shaw and Noble and, you know, a mafia and all that sort of stuff drafting decisions. Like, it's a factor. And is it a big factor? Yeah. But I don't think it's fair to say that getting rid of those guys is the reason, why we are.
I think it's the biggest reason. I think with North, you know, we're not this big empire. We're a very small, very family oriented club. We're a heart and soul club. Mm. And the day we decided to, you know, show Boomer and Petrie and Ferrito and to a lesser extent Dos Santo the door is the day they ripped the heart and soul out of a heart and soul football club. Mm. And I think that this club, the Shinbone spirit was something that always set North apart. It was this, you know, never say die attitude. It was this, you know, back against the wall, and it was, you know, you get knocked down 8 times and you stand up 9 sort of thing. And I think that the day that we made that decision and the day that decision was made public was definitely the darkest day in the club's history, in my opinion. I just think that everything that we stand for was emulated in those 3 players in particular. And so to basically rip the heart and soul out of what is a heart and soul football club, I think was the biggest mistake we ever could have made. And I think it's very interesting that, you know, these 3, you know, very highly regarded, might I add, ex-staff members at the club, particularly Eugene Arocca. I mean, he was one of the most powerful and one of the best, most powerful figures and one of the best things ever happened to our club, to come out and sort of agree with what was said around that decision, I think is, yeah, I mean, I definitely resonate with what they say and I definitely agree with what they say. And I just hope that, you know, we can look for a way. I don't know if we'll ever be able to rebuild the Shinbone spirit for what it was, but hopefully just try and find a way to bring something like that back into the club and to, like I said, add a bit of heart and soul and add a bit of emotion and, you know, meaning back into the club. I do agree with those comments.
Yeah, I lightly agree with them. I think that's more people complaining who are probably not liking what we're doing right now. I do agree it was a bad decision. Absolutely, I'm not questioning that whatsoever. But do I think that's the reason why we are where we are? No. Like if Brad Scott actually played young players, you know, and got us and was setting us up while like to transition, like Geelong has while winning premierships. We put everything into those premiership runs. But one thing we did not do is play younger players, and I won't name any names, but I've talked to some people that some players who at that time couldn't get games.
Yeah.
You know, and they would have been the players right now. Some of them are late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah.
And those are the guys that would be on 200 games right now. So, yeah. You know, Brad Scott's decision making was woeful. And I think Brad Scott's the main reason why we are where we are.
Well, this decision came from Brad Scott.
Yes, and that's why it's a part of it. I just think there's many other factors. I think it's a little bit over emotional to say that's the reason. And I know you're not saying that in particular, but without, I'm more saying that without acknowledging the other reasons why there is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, and there's definitely, it's the first domino to fall.
Yes, yeah,
and
I
a domino
agree.
Effect of bad decisions over
but
the
it could have been
resurrected seasons.
In there. That's what I'm saying. Like, yes,
yeah,
I agree with you. It's the first domino
to
fall. But there's many points along the line where we could have gone, it doesn't matter that those guys are gone now. It's time to fix it. We still have Higgins. We still had Brown. We still had Tarrant, Attlees, you know, who had played a couple of hundred games.
At least.
Well, yeah, but they're experienced players.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we had guys. Goldie, Cunnington, Zeeble.
Yeah.
Like, we had guys. Like, Lindsay Thomas, who hung around a little bit, I think, after that, did he? Or was he gone before?
He left the year later.
Anyway, we still had enough guys to stabilise the ship.
Yeah.
And there was so much other stuff. Anyway,
we just thought it was interesting, so we wanted to bring it up.
Yeah, we just thought we'd bring that to everyone's attention. Do I think we can rebuild it? Larky screams shin bonus spirit to me, especially what he said today. And if you haven't watched Larky's interview today, he was talking about his 100th game, but talking about why he signed.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff. Charlie Combin, his interview last week, showed me he cares.
Yeah.
And we knew he cares because we've talked to him outside of this and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Especially you. And we know.
Yeah.
There's other players like your Zohars or LDUs that I think you can question right now.
Yeah.
But are those players going to be here for the next premiership run? Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
But Sheezels, Combins, Larkies, those sort of guys.
They're the guys we're building a future on.
And it's also getting Clarkson in, who's played for this club.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He understands what it's about as well. And he talks about it more than anybody else. So did the shin bonus spirit die? No. That's such a massive overreaction. And I think people are getting in their feels a little bit too much saying that. Was it hurt and did it get knocked down? Yes, but once again, you stand up again. And that's what it is. And
yeah, that's true.
There's too many people at this club who care. Like you said, Sonia's a North fan. They know. You know what I mean? So it's currently rebuilding.
Yeah.
You know, did we ever lose it completely? No. And if anyone thinks that, you know, relax. You know what I mean? It's still there. Will it be there one day? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So anyway, Sean Attlee, club chair. Speaking of Sean Attlee, my favourite ever North Melbourne player.
Guy.
He's not my favourite ever player, but I did love Sean Attlee. Every time Sean Attlee took a bounce, my heart skipped a beat. I won't lie.
So what, like four or five times?
No, ever? What are you talking about?
I'm kidding.
It's the speed on that man. All you Sean Attlee haters out there, I'm not about you. Anyway, Sean Attlee club champ votes. Not many other players have an award like this named after them at North Melbourne.
No, exactly.
That's all I'll say.
It's a real honour.
You know, Harry Sheezel, three votes.
Easy,
I think
three.
Pretty easy.
Yeah.
We debated these two.
Yes.
Ford, we've gone with two.
Yes.
And Chom, we've gone with one. Now, I personally may have gone the other way, but Marnie is intimidating and scary, and she always gets her way. So
happy wife, happy life.
We compromised and did what Marnie said.
Yes, so, exactly.
So we've gone. I think it's fair. Eddie Ford had a great game. Three goals.
He had a great game, and I'm
lots of marks presenting on the wing.
He was enjoying his season,
I think continuing on from last with his rising star nom.
Yeah, look, we haven't spoken about Eddie Ford too much, but one thing I love about Eddie Ford is he's always so positive and so up and about, right?
This is the guy
who's won one game in his career.
He's just out there having a good time.
But that making footy fun.
I'm going to say
and
a controversial
kick three
statement.
Goals. Oh, here we go. Oh, no.
There's never been a man with mutton chops who's unhappy in the history of existence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the reason why he's happy.
Just got great swagger, great energy. He's an individual and he embraces
Bulls
who he
cooking
is
going to be cooking up those chops soon because there's not enough lamb and pork going around. Okay. Now, Eddie Ford is an interesting looking guy. He's handsome, but there's something about his face that I don't understand. Like,
I'm not contributing to this conversation.
No. He's a handsome guy, but sometimes he has a little bit of facial hair and I'm like, okay. And then he'll shave it and he looks completely different. Like, it's like he's got all these alter egos of people that I don't understand. I don't know what Eddie Ford's going to rock up to the game.
Next time I see him, I'll ask.
I just want to understand
the many faces and
how one man can pull off so many facial structures so flawlessly. That's what I would like to know.
Okay, I'm not going to comment on that, but you know, you guys let us know what you think about.
No, honey, we want your opinion.
I don't have an opinion on it.
Do you agree that he's looked different many times? He's never looked the same every season.
I don't. It's not something I pay attention. Believe it or not, that's not something I pay attention to.
It's not Hugh Greenwood. That's why. Well, Eddie Ford's my Hugh Greenwood.
No, it's because I'm not buying into this whole topic about women only watching football to perv on men.
Oh, Hugh Greenwood. Oh, I even think Hugh Greenwood's handsome.
Greenwood is handsome, but I like him because of the way he plays and for who he is, not because he's handsome.
And because he's handsome.
That's just a bonus.
Oh, yeah. Just because you like him because he's handsome doesn't mean you don't like him for any other reasons, mate. We're not saying that.
Well, I'm just you're saying, not saying that, but other people, I'm sure.
Well, they're not in this room right now and they don't have a podcast.
I don't
They're listening
have,
to us. We're not listening to I them,
don't, mate. I don't have an opinion on Eddie Ford's appearance. I only have an opinion on Eddie Ford's energy, swagger and contribution to our game week in, week out. And I'm enjoying what he is putting down
and
so far this
he's
season.
He's consistently changing facial hair and head hair. Can you at least comment on his mutton chops?
Yeah, I rate the sideburns.
Okay.
I dig it. Right. Again, it's just leaning. But that's the thing with Eddie Ford, right? Like, sorry.
This is what we want. Yes, talk about it, mate.
This is like.
Everyone wants to know your thoughts on Eddie Ford. We've been waiting for so long.
This is not where I thought we would be going at the end of the podcast. Eddie Ford fully embraces who he is as an individual.
Yeah, he'd be the first. Like, okay, we thought Paul. Not Paul Curtis. What's the other bloke's name in the twos? Curtis Taylor. We thought Curtis Taylor was that bloke. He's in the twos. Sorry, Curtis. Eddie Ford's taken the Curtis Taylor, I'm the most handsome bloke of this club and I'm going to wear the most extroverted stuff possible.
It's just who he is. And I think that him being unapologetically himself in all facets of his game and his, you know, his style and his look, and I think really just adds to the confidence, and that's trickling into his performances week in, week out.
If I was going to hang out with any bloke, I think Eddie Ford would be the one I'd be intrigued to the most. I want to know what he's like on the outside. He seems like a cool cat, but I feel like you're going to his house and he's into like Warhammer and stuff.
Oh.
But then I reckon he goes to the clubs and he's buying everyone shots and just like twerking on the table. You know what I mean?
If anyone else wants to know the private life of Eddie Ford, let me know and I'll get some.
Do some digging.
I'll do some. I'll just go talk to him. It's fine.
Oh, because you've got that ability, Marnie.
Charlie Convin, we gave the one vote to.
Yeah, they know that already. They don't care about that.
Another great game.
They're here
game.
For Eddie Ford chat. Okay.
Another great game from Charlie. I'm very proud.
Yes, he's now, surprise, in the top three.
Wow.
Of the Sean Attlee Club.
Well, give us a recap of the top three.
Well, I'm going to – you babble on for a second, Marnie, because I've got to get them up here.
Oh,
actually.
No, I've just thrown a spanner in.
You've thrown
the
a curveball my way.
I'm going to say, Eddie Ford. It's Sheasel, Tom Powell, Charlie Convin.
You're guessing
the
top three?
Yeah, that's my guess.
Okay, hang on. It's loading here. Sheasel, Powell, Convin. Yeah.
No spoilers, guys. I just fully guessed.
No, she legitimately, I just got it up on the screen here. Sheasel, Powell, then Convin. Sheasel 7, Powell, and Convin 4. Wardlaw's got 3 votes. Curtis has 3 votes.
So nice.
That's how it's going at the moment in the Sean Attlee Club Champ. Thank you for listening. We're going to leave now before it's too long.
Thank
some
you again
upset.
For sending in your voice memos.
Yes.
We play them every single week on the pod.
What's the email, Marnie?
Send them in 10 to 15 seconds of your best energy to furthernorthpod@gmail.com. Follow us on socials. We are furthernorthpod across Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.
Hi, YouTube. Any 5-star reviews are always fantastic, guys.
And any comments on Eddie Ford's.
Yeah, what do you think Eddie Ford gets up to? If you've listened to this point of the podcast, you're a real fan, and I want you to comment on whatever we post up this week and say what you think Eddie Ford does in his spare time. What is his hobby? We're going to get this trending and tag him in it too.
I'll find a way to get it to him. Yeah.
The next besties interview, I want to know what Eddie Ford does in his spare time. I want to know what his top three hobbies are.
Okay, done. I'll make it happen.
I want nothing to do with football. I don't care about him on the field.
We usually don't really do anything about football, the besties.
Well, that's perfect for this.
If you want to watch our other interviews, our other besties videos, you can find us at Besties Footy as well on TikTok.
Ask
and
him
Instagram.
Which generation of a Batman does he watch the most?
We need to stop. This is getting out of hand now. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Hopefully we got you through another pretty tricky round. Oh, for those who are coming to the Hawthorn game, we're both sitting in Bay 29
this week. Marnie's
going to
be in Bay
29.
The biggest celebrities we've had, Jen, we've had Sonia, we've had Chom, who cares? We're getting Marnie Cohen in the Bay.
I'm so excited.
This week, guys. So, look, get along to the game. If you're not in Bay, going to be in Bay 29, get to the ground. We're going to be hanging out at halftime outside the Bay.
Visit
like
me pregame outside gates 1 and 2 as well. I have a burning question for you.
Yes, Marnie's going to do the interviews with the besties as well. There's so much stuff happening. Stay tuned.
Footy is fun. You know what? You can be sitting in the bottom of the ladder or near the bottom of the ladder, but you can still make footy fun.
You know what's
fun.
Overrated, Marnie? Winning. Who cares?
No, it's not. I want to win this week so bad.
Yeah, so do I. We need to beat the Hawks so bad. All right, everyone, we'll see you there for the Spoon Bowl this week. Hawthorn, North Melbourne, bottom of the ladder clash, prime time at Marvel Stadium. We'll see you there. And sorry, Hawthorn, you're getting smashed.
See ya.